That's 20 years again, isn't it? What a talent we have in this church. Amen. She ain't up at Cleveland trying out for the boys. She's using that in church. I appreciate it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4. Oh, my, my. Alicia, are you at least listening? I put so much time in this week thinking I was going to see your smiling face. 00 if you're listening. All right? Or I'm just going to go back to Colossians. Amen. All right. Going back to Colossians, it looks like. Or one of them Inman kids are causing a problem and she can't get to the thing. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4. Boy, there's so much I want to say. We really need to keep ourselves. You know what coming to church does? It helps keep us in the love of God. That song started and I'm thinking of people. I don't say the things I say like Tori. Emily can testify this. We sat in there in 3 hours and everything was to try and get her closer to God. Emily spent countless hours. Mark spent countless hours. Did she do it? And that's why we need more Sherpas. Coming up beside somebody. It's tough being a Christian, swimming upstream. And that's why I preach that message on the vexation of Lot's soul. It's difficult. I know it's difficult. If you're not careful, you cave into it. You gotta surround yourself with good voices. Amen? So there's much more I could say. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. I want to read two verses and then I want to jump somewhere else. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. What a guy at the soundboard. He's and that thing's got Canadian money and American, and it's got European money in there. He got the right graphic, didn't you? Because finances aren't just for America. They're for everybody. When I was in Africa, I said, tithing ain't just an American thing. It's a biblical thing. It'll work. And you have to be very careful about this too. Watch this now. A lot of missionaries are always asking for money, aren't they? That money sometimes should come right from the source that you're at. We do realize that Paul was getting money from the Corinthian church and said in 2 Corinthians 8, prove your love so we can distribute it between the churches in Macedonia and stuff. But still, it should come right there from the source. So let's dive into this thing. Let's dive into it. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us, Paul's saying, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, and it's not suggested. I want to make sure this is clear. He said, moreover, it is suggested. No, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's a broad term, isn't it? Stewards is a broad term. And faithful is a very broad term. Here's another passage of Scripture I want to look at to get where we're going. You thought we were going to just turn to Proverbs 13 and verse 82, and it's going to say, get your finances in order, saith Solomon. No. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful? And he uses these words again, different writer. He said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? We speak of what Brother O'Malley said the other day. Whose finances are they? Whose are they? Can I even say this? The lost man's finances are God's. Be a whole lot better for him if he knew what to do with them, wouldn't it? Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of me in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Doesn't that sound like Joseph? It's amazing we find that same word steward referred to as Joseph. Verse 45, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants or maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, and here we have another word. And I didn't realize this until I just saw this. Same three words, two different texts. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight with this journey we're going to be embarking on. It's already been I guess I could say both a blessing and an eye-opener to me for many reasons, and I'm sure I'll say it by way of just merit of discussing this topic. And so help us tonight, Lord. Help us. We all sit at the table of the Word of God, and we open it up, and we want to open it up with a clear heart and say, Lord, we want to be stewards over your household. And help us to understand how to do that and the requirements of it. We plead in this message tonight and the days to come. In Christ's name, amen. Well, and I can stop at any time. It's not like it's a message. I need to just get my 3 points in the poem out. So don't get nervous. But I do want to get somewhere. I want to try and get somewhere. I have 9 pages, and I really felt like I could... It might have been high aspirations, but I felt like I could get to them. But I think some other things were very important tonight. I'm working with all of you at different various seasons in your journey. And it never stops. One moment I might, and it's hard for me to shift gears sometimes. I can be wide open with one person that knows better, and then I have to change gears to somebody that's just coming along the journey. Sunday, it was evident. With me, with one of mine, I think, and I used the illustration Sunday night with Leah, and I said, you know, here's one in the journey that I've been discussing this with, one of the grandkids, and she gets to see it. We have to understand that we as Sherpas, especially pastors, bishops, elders, are trying to get people closer to God, and it some need pressing more, and some don't, and so take that into consideration, and we all should be doing that, shouldn't we? We all should be. When we come here tonight, your goal is to get closer to God than you were when you got here and help somebody get there as well. So where do we even begin regarding this most needed topic in the day we live? I really didn't even know where to start. Mike, probably Baldwin, helped me with it. I was struggling with, you know, I can take a verse of scripture, a book, and break it down. I've learned homiletics, apologetics, hermeneutics, sermon structure. I've understood all that. But when you take a topic like this, you know, where do you even begin? You know what I'm saying? You get, how wide is it? How much do you want to get? You know, an evangelist could come in and touch on a few verses of scripture, and you think, yeah, I need to get that in order. Well, now we're at that place. We need to get that in order. So I'm trying to formulate a skeleton, if you will, how to get that in order. And Brother Baldwin helped me with that the other day. Obviously, the impetus for this topic tonight was from our recent family conference. And yet it is something that I have mentioned many times, and yet I have not directed a series of messages or even classes or lessons towards it. That ends tonight. I have spoken to many in this church through the years on one-on-one, or as I say, life on life, but not collectively. I even say to myself, I feel crippled here tonight because I'm much better at it, I feel, and I'm stretching myself to do this. I'm much better at it one-on-one, life on life. I so appreciate it when somebody comes in, Miss Sam, and just sits down and says, here it is. I'll go as far as to say this. Debbie McKelway won many, many, many years ago. She was probably one of the first ones. I sat down and I said, okay, let's do this. She came in and put everything on the, what she put on the table, not everything on the table. You can't, Brother Matt, you can't help you. Let's put everything on the table. You got to get all them Netflix subscriptions and all. We forget those things, don't we? Transfer bank accounts and then realize how many auto pays you have. And then all of a sudden they're sending you this thing, says you didn't pay your bill this month. And you're going, oh my goodness, I had auto pay set up on my other bank account. And so I'm much better, I feel, so bear with me when we do this study, I'm much better life on life than I probably will be. I hope I learn in this as well. In a way, I'm geared more towards those that come and ask for help. I'm not sure that way is the best way in that it misses or overlooks those that truly need the help but won't ask for it. Money and finances are an interesting touchy topic in churches. And it's not an apology, but an explanation why I don't target it collectively. Start talking about money and everybody, I made this statement at the leadership meeting. I don't want to do this VBS collection anymore. Do you ever notice when we do special events, unlike some churches, we ain't passing the offering plate around? Because it almost comes across as like, I'm trying to get something from you more than give something to you. VBS, the collection of who we have come to that are more outside of our church than inside. And I thought about it the other day or several weeks ago, and I thought, what does that look like with a child? And they go home and say, hey, I need some money. They're taking money up at the church. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We have to understand this age that we're in and so on and so forth, and I'm very cautious with it. I think prior planning is much better than last minute trying to function with it. We got to scramble for something. I don't like being that one that scrambles for something to try and figure out a solution to it. So money and finances are an interesting and touchy topic in churches. And as I said, it's not an apology, but an explanation why I don't target it collectively. As a pastor, and many as members sometimes almost conclude or believe that this topic is untouchable. It's none of your business. Jake, I think, can I share something with them about you and Brother O'Malley? Brother Jake was of the persuasion, he got counseling. Him and Tina got marital counseling before they got married. One of the things that he wanted to talk about, Brother O'Malley, in the counseling, and rightly so, was finances. Jake was going to be the head of his home, and he basically said no because of this, and it's not wrong of him. We have this philosophy that nobody needs to know what I got. And my life's an open book. If I can pull something out of my life to show somebody else to help them, I don't mind doing it. I handle Miss Jean's finances for her. I'm constantly showing her mine before I did hers to show her what I do. I'm not embarrassed by it. You can pull my tithing records up. You can pull, and you should the next guy. And you should deacons. Anybody that holds an office in the church. And let me say this, tithing and missions giving is not don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. You ought to be able to stand up in this church and say, here's my witness and I'm a part of this church. It isn't just by sitting on a church pew. And so as a pastor and many as members sometimes conclude or almost conclude or believe that this topic is untouchable. It's none of your business. It's facilitated sometimes in the workforce, and I get it in the workforce, but can I say why they utilize it to their benefit sometimes? Because they'll put two people in the same job and then not say that they're paying one more than the other. If you got children, you've probably seen that, or if you've been in the workforce, you've seen that. Hey, this is what we're going to give you, but don't tell everybody else out there we're doing this for you. No, it ought to be open, and if this is what I'm hired out for, and if I can't earn that kind of money, maybe it's my performance, and that should be dealt with. But again, these finances, they trickle over into the best and the worst of people. And yet, as one studies Scripture, you'll be hard-pressed not to see it all throughout Scripture, finances. As was said during the conference, Jesus referred to money, finances, and or stewardship thereof more than many. I'm not going to say any, because I don't. There's not a Strong's Concordance for how many times money's referenced in the Bible. You can say, you can look up the word money, but was money always money? Was cattle money? Was assets money? Was it used for buying, selling, trading? So how many references to finances or money could be found in the scriptures? As was said during the conference, Jesus referred to money, finances, and or the stewardship thereof more than any other topic we may see as more important. Hell or something like that, marriage or whatever. I find this to be interesting as well while studying this out and just meditating on it day to day. Paul refers to our sins in Romans. Watch what Paul says about our sins in Romans. He states this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and I think there's a definite correlation between the two here. He says, for the wages, he says, he uses a finance term. Isn't that amazing that he would do something like that? He says, for the wages. He's trying to give us a picture of what our sins are. Our sins are a payment, a wage for what we've done. Tell me finances aren't important in the Bible. For the wages of sin is what? Death. How many times you ever tried to win somebody to Christ and you begin to explain to them sin? Sin has a wage to it. You live your whole life and payment is due at the end of it. God is requiring a payment for your wages. What's the payment? Death. He says, but what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sounds like he doesn't only own the earth and all that therein is. Sounds like he owns it all. Everything. The earth, not only the earth, but everything around the earth and everything that exists he owns. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a word derived, watch this now, it is a word derived from the word used for rations for a soldier. It means stipend or pay. Interesting terminology regarding our sin, isn't it? He uses a monetary, if you will, a term for our sins and what we owe. In my own personal studies, it is hard to come to an exact percentage, but utilizing online sources as well as book resources, I have found this. Approximately 2,350 verses speak of money in Scripture. I would say this regarding that. Those may be direct references, but I say there are far more that teach the concept without mentioning the name. Another source stated that out of 39 parables in the Gospels, Jesus referenced money in 11 of them. So that's what? Almost a third. Another, one out of every 7 verses in Luke talks about money. One out of every 7 verses in Luke talks and references money. Isn't that amazing? With all that being said, I feel it safe to say that money, finance, stewardship, wages, debt, or the investment of it is a common topic throughout Scripture. Can I circle back, though, and make a blanket statement in regard to this and why I chose the text that I did? The Bible, in its simplest form, is a book of stewardship. God hands us all the resources. He doesn't, I'll say this. Who else went through the MEP station? When I came through, Brother Colossa, MEP station, was it called that for Air Force? Military Enlistment Program Station? Is that just for, no, Marines were there, everybody. Yeah. Dan, MEP station? They might have called it something different back in World War I. Or Korean War, I don't know. You know what they gave me before I swore in? The Bible. You gave me a pocket New Testament, they give that to you? Yeah, you came up in the wrong generation. They gave me a Bible. It was a resource. They at least would yield to the fact that, what's the other thing we go by? Uniform code of military justice. That's all the rules and regulations for the military, right? What's that one? That's the law. Yeah, you were a law person. What's the one we all go by? What's that one you had to study relentlessly? Anyways, they give you that to know how to be a good soldier. God doesn't present us with the Bible when we're born, but that's the importance of getting the Bible in our hands, because it is a resource that will navigate us through life without making all the mistakes that we make. That's why there's such an attack on the Bible. And so the Bible, if I can say this, I don't want to, it's a blanket statement. The Bible in its simplest form is a book of stewardship. It is a stewardship, and we've heard preachers say this many times, of our what? We have three things: time, talent, and treasure. It is a book of stewardship in regards to our time, in regards to our talent, in regard to our treasure. And once you get saved, guess what God does? He gives you talents. Now he wants to see what you'll do with them. He wants to see how you're going to what? Invest them and spend them. Finances in Scripture haven't always been currency. Finances can be funds. It can be money. It can be resources. It can be capital. It can be assets or even treasures. I don't know if you're like me, but these Doge coins and these, what are the other terms, Brother Matt? I'm sure you're in that world. What is it, Doge coins and Bitcoin and this currency that you're wondering what this currency is? I'm not familiar with that. I've always laughed at it. But who knows what currency will look like down the road? You go to Alaska and your time's currency. You trade, you barter, you did do. If you have a skill set, you might trade that skill set for salmon. You might get the Stelzigs to talk to you, where she's making mittens and gloves, and it's stewardship of those resources to be of value to somebody else. And so finances can be funds, money, resources, capital, assets, or even treasures. As such, the Bible isn't silent on our treasure, is it? And as we will look into the topic, we answer as well, whose treasure, or rather assets, really are they? Is everything God's? Is it ours, or is it someone else's? We can answer the question of, I believe we can, is God silent on this topic? Ryan, can I look in the, is God just silent on it? It's like so many people say, well, you know, smoking, there's no real verse that says this, that. I love it when people try and find the little gaps in Scripture. Well, the Bible's not really clear about this, that, that. I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot more clear if you spend more time in it. Yeah, it's amazing. I'll tell you what, I will say, it's just not bragging. I feel like my finances are in pretty good shape. But then I realize the more I start studying, I'm not of the persuasion where, okay, I do the tithing, I do missions given, I do special offerings, I go above and beyond, I do all that other stuff, and then I sit there and go, yeah, that money market account is mine, baby. No, it isn't. It's his too. And I'm going to tell you what, between my study and my own stewardship of Miss Jean's finances, everything of her, I don't make any decisions without her approval. And I'm sitting, because why? They're hers. And guess what? I started thinking, yeah, they're yours too, aren't they? I better start consulting with you a little bit more when I want something. No matter how well I have my finances in order, I still have to talk to him and say, you think this is necessary for me to have? Boy, that starts changing things, doesn't it? And the answer, watch this, we can answer the question of is God silent on the topic, and the answer would be no. God is not silent on this topic that so many struggle with, nor is the Scriptures lacking advice. And so the conclusion must be, we either don't seek that advice, or we just don't care to find God's mind and direction concerning this topic. And that's rebellion, because why? It's required. It's not suggested, it's required of a steward. A steward of what? Everything we, is anybody in here think, because we might need to branch off of this, is there anybody here tonight, honestly, and I'm being very sincere about this, not sarcastic, anybody in here think that there's things that you have that are just yours and not God's? So it's required of a steward to what? Be faithful. Faithful with what God's given you. You young people, the sooner you learn that, the easier you'll have life. So God is not silent on this topic that so many struggle with, nor is the Scriptures lacking advice. And so the conclusion must be we either don't seek it or we just don't care to find God's mind and direction concerning this topic. There are many questions that could be asked as to why. I reckon the best place to start would be, and I wrote these down, I'll find a place to stop. I realize what time it is. But here's some things that I wrote down as an introduction. Is there really a problem? I mean, really, is there a problem with finances? Because, listen, there's no reason to teach on it if there isn't a problem. Do folks, by and large, struggle with finances? Are we people that live within our means? Americans are terrible with this. For anybody that's traveled overseas or lived overseas for a period of time. Here's another question. I just kept asking myself this as I talked to Brother Baldwin and just started formulating a basis and a foundation to go from. Do we balance the debt to income ratio well? Do we understand what debt is? And should we even have it? And the question that really should be asked about so many things in Scripture that folks struggle with or refer to as preferences rather than principles is, does God really care regarding finances or any topic that we approach? Does God really have a dogmatic yay or nay to it? Is he only, I mean, there's so many people nowadays talking about alcohol. And trying to say, well, hey, Jesus turned water into wine. Oh, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Has anybody ever been in church and had somebody testify and stand up and say, I just want to thank God for wine, whiskey, and alcoholic beverages. You just can't even understand or realize what it's done for my family. Is he only concerned about our souls? And not as well the various situations of our lives. Here's another one. Regarding this one of finances that is he concerned about our finances? Or is he just concerned about our soul? So let's take some time to look at this from a scriptural point of view and see if we can answer all these questions. Or if they really can be answered for a start to this study. Or if you're like me and need a table of context. Or as a preacher, we call it a simple outline breakdown. We can look at it like this. Here they are. This is how I'm going to break it down, okay? This is how I'm going to break it down, okay? Number one, we're going to look at the problem of finances. Is there really a problem? I mean, honestly, is there? Number two, we're going to look at the purpose of finances. What is the purpose of having things? I've said this often, Brother Mark, what's my famous phrase? I've forgotten it. I've been studying about finances so much. And it's not wrong to have things. Can I just say this? Preacher's going to get done with this thing, and it's going to be nothing. It's going to be an Amish church when it's over with. It's not wrong to have things, but it is wrong when things have you. And those things ought to bring glory to God. And then the third thing we're going to look at is the principles of finance. Can we take this topic and realistically break it down into three simple categories? And can our answers to this then be found in those three simple categories? I believe so, just based on the beginning of this study I have found on my own, and as well what I have seen in my own life. What I have found in Scripture and what I have seen in my time as a pastor dealing with people in and out of church. And as well, I want to keep it as simple as possible. I want to put it on the bottom shelf so even Avalyn understands. She's made a testimony of salvation. She's waiting to be baptized. She's a steward. So when she has something, she needs to understand she's stewarding that and it's God's. She's a caretaker for it. If she learns that concept now and she gets all the other concepts, she could be a Proverbs 31 woman. And if somebody's doing that for some young man out there, then guess what? We have somebody that can get together and they can do wonderful things for the glory of God. That's right. And so, can I break it down into those three simple categories, and can our answers then be found in those? I believe so, just based on the beginning. I do want to preach, but I as well want to teach. And so it'll be a hard mixture for me. I will attempt to merge the two, maybe emphasize certain things, could be a softer word, emphasize that is. As with any other topic, I want to say this, I ain't preaching at you. I'm looking at and learning with you. Some possibly in here may be further along in regard to the state of them, that is finances, but maybe not as far along in the purpose of them. There might be people in here that they're very well off financially, but you've completely missed the purpose of those finances. Here's one that I thought about when we were studying. How many people in churches, when they fill out their wills and they fill out all their trusts and they fill out all that stuff, they equally disperse it, or however they disperse it, to their heirs. And many times we'll give it to lost family members. And it's God's. And basically all you did in reverse is you became the prodigal father, not the prodigal son. I'm learning. I have to be, if God admonishes me in Scripture to not be unequally yoked together with somebody in a business practice, then how in the world am I going to enable them in their lost condition as a parent and just give them money to continue to squander their life for God? And how many churches do you know when someone passes away, watch this now, that they leave a portion of their inheritance to the church? Is that scriptural? We're going to find out all these. See what it does to everybody. Whoa, I never thought. Man, I'm just hoping he'll teach me something about how to tithe and pay my bills. Man, it's way more than that. It's way more than that. It's stewardship of all that I have. I wanted to give you the beginner outline I'm going to use to seek our answers. Just be patient with me. I'm aware of the time. I want to give you the beginner outline I'm going to use to seek our answers. I will say this, my study is a work in process. It is not complete. I have 4,000 words so far in 9 pages. And I hope to find more as I study. So I hope we can learn as much as possible together. I encourage you with this particular study to get more engaged or vocal. Possibly even ask me something along the way as to look for myself that I can further share in this study. So let's look at the first part of the three tonight to begin the journey. Just to lay a little bit of a foundation, and then we'll give an invitation. The soundboard may need a title. They've already done that. Alex and I compiled this for tonight. During his week, he just reached out to me thinking about this. He's on the soundboard. He's a steward of something that has been entrusted to him. He wants to help me, so he came up. I had stewardship, a scriptural study into finances. And I said, no, that one sounds much better. I wanted to keep stewardship, but it was a biblical guide to finances. And it isn't it. This is a guide. It's a guide. All you got to do is look at it. It's a lamp under my feet. It's a light under my path. It'll help me with making sound biblical decisions based upon what he's given me for me to glorify him in my life. And so that's the title. Let's look at the first part. And so in my mind, the best place to start would be, is there a problem? Finances, like any other topic we could look at, we need to assess whether there really is a problem. It was like my life when Rodney and others were talking to me. And I was talking to myself. I had to conclude. I had to get to a place and conclude. This is where the struggle is in churches. I had to get to a place where I concluded, or at least answered the question, was my life where it needed to be? And I needed to see where my life was supposed to be, and Jesus wasn't on the scene, so who was his representative? A steward of what he had. And Rodney was a steward, and so I had to look at my life in comparison to Rodney's life as a steward of what God gave him and said, is that how I'm supposed to be? We have gotten so far away from what the biblical perspective of a human being that's saved looks like that anything will fly nowadays. And so I had to come to that conclusion. I had to conclude it. This is why I say stewardship regarding all this. We are stewards of our time, we are stewards of our talent, and we are stewards of our treasure. If you're not careful, the devil can get you to do things in your time and waste it. I got caught up in something today. I literally had to call the police because somebody came to the door. Got me caught up. I wasn't ready for it. Kind of took me off guard and got a little hairy there for a while. Made the call and everything. But you know what that was? I was studying. And the devil knows just as much what you're doing as God knows what you're doing. And he says, have you considered my servant so-and-so? And the devil will come along and rob you of that. Just like, watch this. Prove me, God said in Malachi. He said, we're robbing God. And the thing about it is we carry water for the devil so much. And there is a massive problem. There's not only a massive problem of our stewardship in our families, of children. There is a massive problem in our country and the world in our stewardship of finances. What am I doing with those? My time, my talent, my treasure. And what should be done with those? When you back up and seek to answer those, you'll only find the answers in Scripture. You will only find the answers for those in Scripture. I had a problem in my life. It was me. How could I fix it? Jesus had it fixed for me. Now I needed to come to Him for the answers, and those are found in Scripture. In seeking answers, I also found my problem. And so it is with this. Is there a problem? I'll give you a couple of these and we'll stop. I promise. First, let's look at or see if there really is a problem. Current national debt. Current national debt. You say, this is a church thing. No, this is a world thing. Current national debt. I feel like Mugabe. Remember when he'd get up there and try and quote numbers and all that kind of stuff? I'm going to try this the best I can. $35,966,182,741,808 current national debt. And you know what? It's going. When I looked at it, I just grabbed a number. It's almost like a roulette wheel. I just grabbed a number real quick in my studies. Per person, that comes out to $101,678. We can fix it. Our current population divided into that deficit comes down to, Noah, $101,678 you owe to get us out of debt. You want to pay that? Do you have that? No, you don't. Guess who did that? Us. And everybody, now Christians shouldn't have added to that, but when we put people into office, this is why I say when you nominate a person for the church, I came here as a candidate for this church with 3 years of taxes, a bank statement, a background check, a CCW, a Q clearance. I came with all of that stuff to say, I'm a steward. I'm a steward. I'm going to be there. Do you know how many people don't care? And they put them into a position, and guess what happens with them? It's like I said Sunday night. Now they have a bank that been pastor for 25 years, 3 years before he leaves, not here, 3 years before he leaves, says, let's build a bigger building. Isn't there a verse of Scripture about that? Considering it, navigating it, so on and so forth, builds a building to an $11,000 a month payment on a mortgage of a church. Now, is that stewardship or is that foolishness? Would you be willing to pay that to fix it, Noah? $101,678. Yeah, you can't even get your head around that number, can you? Ryan, you got that? Will everyone else be willing to pay it? We can draw the conclusion those leading this thing ought to address the problem and find the answer. Franklin Roosevelt put the Social Security system into place. Right? Is that right? Personal friend of my grandfather. Why do we keep looking at that? Personal friend of my grandfather, Franklin Roosevelt, started the Social Security system. Our government has bankrupt that system and given it to people that don't deserve it. Destroyed it. To where it might not even be there or could be there. And watch this. While we're giving billions of dollars to other countries to help their countries, we're taking it out of the hands of senior citizens, veterans, and other people that need it. Because we've elected people to have poor financial skills. Is there a problem? U.S. population is 334.9 million. How can this be fixed? I'll stop with this statement because I don't want to get deep into the problem. How can this be fixed? Can it be fixed? In its simplest formula, here's how you fix it. You cut spending and you increase revenue. This is why it's said of true biblical pastors, they are the greatest leaders on the face of the earth. Why? Because they lead volunteers who give voluntarily. Every other system that handles money does it as a requirement. Taxes, this, that, and the other thing. And it's amazing to me how many people in church, search your heart as we give the invitation, how many people in church will be more faithful to a credit card debt, to a car payment, and to every other thing we want to lavish our money on that's God's, and will rob him of getting what he's supposed to get. And we wonder why our churches are in a mess and our families are struggling. There is a massive problem, a problem that I don't even really have up-to-date statistics, that doesn't just only affect our society outside, it is destroying our churches. I don't want to besmirch pastors, but do you realize how many pastors are not equipped to handle finances and then are pastoring a church? And then do you know how many good pastors are pastoring a church, overseeing finances, and the congregation starves them out? Why? Because money is a massive problem. I am surprised at how much of a problem it is. Now watch this. We can be so critical of the person on the street and the sinner that does such and such. But if you can't get your finances in order, scripturally, all of us can't, then it is just as much of a sin against God than any other one that we can find on the street out there. That's heart-wrenching. That's heart-wrenching. Because the fact of the matter is, we should be better stewards. Paul said to Timothy, he said, we what? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If I really believe that Donald Trump is the one that can fix the equation, do you know who he would ask to be somewhere in his cabinet? A spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-powered, fire-breathing dragon preacher. And he'd say, what does the Bible say? That's when I know America can be great again. That won't happen under our watch. It'll happen under the theocracy and the millennial reign of Christ. And he is going to demonstrate far and wide what biblical principles can do. And guess what happens? Guess who's the ones doing that? You and I. And guess how far up the chain you get to be? How well you did them here. To whom much is given, much is required. Enter into the what? A good, faithful, what? Steward. Servant, what is it? Servant, steward, synonymous with one another. So here's the question. Sam's coming to the piano. Is there a problem? And I say that there's probably not a person under the sound of my voice tonight that there isn't some form of problem. I don't have something set up in my will to go to the church. Should I? I don't have, I save. I take care of my finances well. I'm an overseer of the church's finances. Are we in good shape? I'm an overseer of my mother-in-law's finances. Hers are in excellent shape. And I'm an overseer of mine. But are there areas scripturally that I could tweak each one of those? We had one presented to us Saturday. Did we not, deacons? We had a situation presented to us Saturday. I said no. I'm the steward over them. And buddy, I'll tell you what that no did. It fueled a fire. And I can guarantee you this. The fuel that it fired was because of finances. There's a problem, and we should solve it. So that somebody, we really literally should be having classes here at church. We should be offering unassigned classes in stewardship in this church. We should be offering classes for addiction programs in this church. We should be offering family courses during the day in this church. You say, what? I work a full-time job. I do this, I do that. Brother McMillan, his whole ministry is what? Finances. Because he sat on a church pew and realized that finances were killing Christians. And he embarked into a journey to help churches. And we sat on a church pew. When I study all this stuff, this is how I feel. To whom much is given, much is required. Father, we'd ask you to help us, please. Lord, I don't want this to be a negative. I want it to be a positive. I want us to seek your truth in this scripture. For me, Lord, I'm digging now for nuggets for me. I want to be, you said in your word that we're supposed to lay up for our children's children. That's just not morality. That's just not character. That's not just content in our life. That's finances and helping them because the days are evil. So, Lord, help us in this study, I plead. Help us to have a desire to fix it. Not just to hear it, but to fix it. And, Lord, if it's not in the best place, then we don't flight from it. We don't run because, it takes too much of me. This is the way it is, and I don't want to try and change or fix it now. What a shame. Help us, Lord, to take the Word of God into our lives, and let's be better stewards of it. Lord, I want to leave this church one day in a better financial time, talent, and treasure situation than I was handed. And please help us in our families and in our homes and in our pulpits. We plead tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.